So, I'm going to do my sound test because I'm feeling left out here. Wow, Strawberry Shortcake, what a very busy day. This is one for the books. I'm so happy with my new Valentine's Sweetest Treats that are a hit. You've been so busy, you haven't thought about which friend you'll have be... You've been so busy, you even thought, haven't you even thought about which friend you'll give your sweetest treat to? All right.
Wow.
So, I think we're good to go.
You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007, hosted graciously by the Hiveworks Collective at thehiveworks.com. I'm Fess of ardracomic.com, and with me we have Mark Savory of autumnlake.com.
Well, hello there.
And Kelly Turnbull of thepunchlineismachismo.com or manlyguys.com.
Hello.
And with us this particular week, we're going to be interviewing. Oh shoot, I forgot to ask how to pronounce her last name. Don't tell me.
Insert Katie, edit
wait,
here.
Wait. Katie Tiedrick.
You did it!
Yay! Oh, that got awkward.
Hooray.
Speaking of which, she's from the webcomic Awkward Zombie at awkwardzombie.com. Welcome to the show.
That's true. Thank you. Hello. Ta-da.
Hi.
Now, you're somebody actually I've asked on before, like maybe 2 years ago.
Sorry. I'm very shy, and I tend to back out of things. So congratulations. I'm actually here.
Hooray. Yeah.
I'm the least intimidating group of people to talk to. So
I don't know. I can be overbearing at times, I'm sure. No, I remember.
Be underbearing.
Yeah, there's been a few people that I've tried to ask to be on the show before, and I'd never publicly shame anybody for not wanting to come on or too shy to come on. And there's been several people that have been too shy to come on, and so I don't bother them. I wanted to get this person on, but they're too shy. No, yeah. that's
that
mean.
Clear up their anxiety.
Yeah, that won't. For sure make me never ever get them.
I couldn't sleep last night. I kept thinking I was going to say something horrible by accident.
Oh, feel free to say something horrible. Yeah. I've actually had gone in and removed stuff that was in the show by request. So it's kind of a pain in the ass if it's already been published, though. But
all right. I also live in constant fear of saying something that I shouldn't, because I have so many secret projects that I'm not allowed to talk about.
I just mean I'm going to be Tuesday 9/11. Oops.
I've asked many times for Fess to remove parts of the show, and he never does. There are all those parts with Fess talking. He never takes those out. I don't know why.
It's like, it's okay. I'll start a thought. I'll get halfway through it, and then I'll forget what I'm saying, and then whatever you say will look fantastic by comparison.
Okay.
You see, I talked to you last during the what was it? It was the charity drive event in December.
All right.
Pseudonym and a bunch of other people were setting up to do a Red Cross charity event, particularly for Superstorm Sandy victims in New York and such. And I was a part of that. I drew one thing that took way too long to draw, and then I bought two, and Katie was one of the ones that drew Becky for me, and so that'll be the art for this particular episode. Yay!
Hey, I wish I could have drawn more for that, but I too took way too long on them.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, I thought, right. Oh, I can crank this out, but then the person requested something with no existing visual reference to a game that I have known nothing about. It was like a Shadowrun character, and he's a Yakuza mafia guy. Is like, ah, It's a lot easier if you draw from existing work. Like, draw your own version of blank, you know, but...
I was literally the last person out of there. I think I was drawn till like 3 in the morning because I was like, oh, I underestimated this.
Yeah, how much did we end up raising? I forget. I mean, it was like over $1,000 for sure.
Yeah, it was more than 2,000.
Oh, good.
And that was before they factored in, because there were like the two different charities and right. The receipts for one of them. Yeah, what was the other one? Like Red Cross was one.
It was Benefund, I think.
Okay, yeah, because the Benefund receipts worked weird. So they couldn't tally, like they could just say that there was a Benefund one. They couldn't say like how much it was for. So just out of the Red Cross stuff, I think it was over 2,000.
Well, that's great. That's great.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'd like to have another show where we talk about like charity drives, because I mean, it's like, it's really, well, just the primer is that it's really difficult for artists and creatives to do these with PayPal, which is why, you know, the Red Cross and Benefund had in the honor of donations. So we would get the receipt to show that you did donate, because PayPal doesn't let you do donations like that unless you're an actual nonprofit company. So it's kind of hard to be a fundraiser for fundraising for a charity. I don't know. It's, but yeah, something like this is a lot easier to do, but I know that's a thing that a lot of artists like to do and just try to drum up money for a good cause. So, but that's another time. And, I think I talked to you, afterwards and you did mention I did mention that, hey, I asked you on like 2 years ago. I was like, wondering if could I maybe possibly get you, sometime this year. And then you're like, yeah, I'm sorry. It's probably because of that. And then in caps, you go, I had shy problems. And I thought it was pretty funny because you're like, I like it when people can have a sense of humor about themselves. It's a compliment.
Oh, thank you.
So, one of the reasons why I did originally want you to have you on the show is because we've never ever really had a proper like video game comic, or gamer comic episode. And I'm not sure if we ever will, since we kind of just basically just do simple, interviews now, but, Awkward Zombie was one of the ones that I wanted for that particular episode because, I don't know how I found it. I just came across it. And when I came on, you were doing a lot of basically like Smash Brothers reality show type of comics, like behind the scenes, like the real world with Smash Brothers characters.
Yeah, I think that's when I started gaining an audience for it. A lot of people still think of it as a Smash Bros. Comic, even though they kind of petered out a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I sort of describe it as a Smash Bros. Comic.
But now you've been doing a lot of stuff with Link a lot as well. But it's basically like whatever game you're really hopped up on, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so it was, I went through a period where I played a lot of Smash Bros., not a lot else. So I did a lot of Smash Bros. Comics. And I guess there aren't going to be any more until the next Smash Bros. Comes out, probably.
Aww.
Shouldn't be too long. Wii U just came out.
I guess so. I think they're doing another one.
I gotta wait for that. I don't have a Wii U.
You can play PlayStation Battle Royale in the meantime.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah, that one that came a little too late to the party. No, it looks kind of funny. I think haven't they tried that once before on the PSX? A smash 'em up sort of thing.
I don't even know what the PSX is. Is it the first one?
Yeah.
Someone told me there was some convoluted history to the PlayStation that I wasn't allowed to call the first PlayStation the PlayStation 1 because there was like something else before that or something.
Well, the PS1 would be the smaller white version of it that worked. The PSX would be the brown box. That's what everyone called it, the PSX. I don't know why. But
I didn't realize there was a difference.
Well, you youngins, you.
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
I just wasn't allowed to have any video game stuff as a kid that I didn't buy myself. So,
Yeah, when you're a kid, you tend to only have one console. And I had an N64, so I have no idea what a PlayStation is.
High five.
Yeah.
The one we owned was Pong. And you could throw a toggle switch and it would become squash, but it was basically just Pong.
It would become squash. Wouldn't, oh, I, oh yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it's just Poor Mark.
I think the only thing that changed were like the lines on the screen, but it's the same. You have your two sliders and your... Pretty much. That's the only video game we ever owned. It was Pong.
All right. So, the other comic, to bring this back around, that I wanted to get on was Nerf Now, which I think there might have been a language barrier with that, because I don't remember if it was two guys or one guy, but there was a language barrier in which we'd actually have to, I think we would have had to have a live translator for that one. But basically in the same sort of style where you kind of like gave a lot of personality to the characters. Granted, they already have a lot of personality. But Nerf Now, what they really got known about was, Team Fortress 2, comics, right. though they did he dealt with like a lot of like, silent comics where it's basically just let the art show. And I think it probably was a little bit of that language barrier. It's a lot easier just to tell a story without words at that point. And so really, I mean, they're a great pairing. I mean, I would think if you like one of them, you probably like the other one. Because it's, I mean, both of you kind of have that similarity. You give a lot of personality to the in-game characters, versus just a couple of guys sitting on the couch talking about the characters and then maybe making a cutaway joke for like the last panel of in-game action. I don't know. I prefer your guys' style where it's in-game, kind of like fan fiction in a way, but still fairly, I mean, it's like
it is kind of fan fiction-y.
Yeah. So
the hardest battle to fight is like, you know, you're like, where do I draw the line before this turns into to just like straight up fan fiction?
That's actually sort of the reason why I stopped doing Brawl comics is I had to step back and I was like, I'm not doing jokes. I'm just writing fan fiction. I don't know if that's what I want.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
no, there's nothing wrong with it, but I don't know if it's what I want to do.
One of my friends showed me this thing once that was like a Doctor Who gem crossover comic, and it was one of those things where, like, when we found it, we're like, wow, that's a thing that exists. And it's just like, I don't know, I hadn't read it myself, I was like,
oh, right.
I don't know how seriously that's supposed to be, like, being played. And then, you know, sometimes I'll start kind of going into, like, a storyline kind of thing, and I'm like, oh no, I'm turning into Doctor Who gem crossover.
No, the thing was, we've had him on the show before. He did a fan comic called The Ten Doctors, in which he basically made a comic crossing over all the doctors from Doctor Who. And he's a big Doctor Who fan, and he's done other crossovers. Right now, he's on hiatus right now, but his last one that he was starting to do is basically a James Bond Doctor Who crossover.
Hmm.
In which apparently James Bond is also a doctor, or at least a Time Lord.
Oh, I see people talking about it, because it's like, yeah, it does make more sense, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And I saw, like, as soon as I, like, before you, like, see the title screen for Gem and the Holograms meet Doctor Who, basically, I was, like, watching this, wait a minute. Wait, no! Oh, my God! You know, it's like, there's a place for fan fiction, and it's just for crazy crap that you never would expect or see before. I think there's a good place. I mean, sometimes, you know, you cannot like certain types, but, you know, then you don't read those. Whatever. Let us have fun.
Fair enough.
Let's see here. Some of, I know you've been dealing with like a lot of, basically Link and Zelda stuff lately, but what are some of, your less, I mean, you got Smash Brothers and you got Link. What are some of the other, maybe more obscure games that a lot of like regular people, not regular people, but like less gamery people, less gamery people might know about that you wish you would do a little bit more on, but maybe the audience might not be there for you.
Well, there have been times when I've been playing like an indie game or something, and I'd be like, I could draw a comic about this, but I think 8 people have played this game, and I wouldn't really resonate with a lot of people. But generally, if it's like a published game that sold copies, I'm not terribly afraid of drawing comics about it. Like, one of my favorite series is Fire Emblem, which has a really small audience compared to other games, but
well,
they
America,
really
anyway.
Appreciate having comics drawn for them.
Right, right. And that's with like Marth and Roy and
yeah.
And it's a turn-based strategy.
I call it super chess.
Super chess. I'll buy that. Yeah.
Like 6 to 12 characters, and it's like a rock paper scissors space grid turn-based fight man game.
Yeah.
I remember playing it, and then I found out that, like, the first time I went to a village, it was just people in the village saying, like, hey, so, whatever. And I was like, these aren't worth going to, so I never went to another village, and I found out, like, halfway through the game, I'd missed all these characters, and I was like, oh, yeah. Flip the table.
You could have joined
the kind
my
of
party.
Game where if one of your characters die, they die permanently. So you'll spend, like, an hour on a map, and one of your guys will die, and it's like, well, I guess I better start this level.
I remember I would always lose my, like, unicorn soldier people, like, immediately.
Oh, they're so weak, but they turn out so good.
So you're saying that you have then decided not to do a comic about stuff because do you think it was too obscure for you, or?
No, I mean, if I think there's at least a couple people out there who will get it, I'm not afraid to do it. Like, okay. I did a Racketeer comic, which I think didn't have a huge audience, but it was still a nice game. And the other thing is I try to make jokes at least mostly accessible enough that you can get it if you didn't play the game. That can't always be true, but I try to and I can. So maybe you have no idea what it is, but you still might think it's funny.
And in that respect, I mean, I'm not sure of how much of a blogger you see yourself as in, I mean, there might be a kind of an expectation. Well, you made a joke about this game. Well, tell me more about it. Like, sell me on the video game. Do you get anybody that's kind of like that? I mean, like, what the hell is this? Or do you just like throw it up as like, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, whatever.
I've actually had people email me to tell me that they liked a comic and it made them want to pick up the game because they had never played it. So people don't usually ask. They just think it's funny. And they're like, I guess I better play that game.
Well, good.
At one point, I was like, I played this game. I'll talk about it a little. But I think there are people who are better than I at that. So it's just not something I feel like I can really contribute to.
Mm. Maybe that enlist like a writer to be like a video game blogger and pair up with them. It's like, hey, I got this joke. Can you talk about this?
I don't know.
Too much work.
Once I started using Twitter, yeah. I used that as an outlet to talk about games. Ah. And I think my news posts under the comic have been dwindling because I just assume everyone who follows my comic follows me on Twitter, which isn't true at all.
I don't see any. Yeah, there's no Twitter on your page.
No, I guess there isn't. I should probably do that.
Yeah, probably.
I think I might neglect part of the website just because I'm like,
I got a website. It's there. It kind of holds the comic. I don't need to update it anymore. I mean, I'm still using. Well, you're not using HTML, so that's at least good.
Yeah, it was in PHP, and then my friend, who's a programmer, sort of took me aside and was like, "Let me make your website for you, please." So it's like some kind of CSS Java. I don't understand it, but it's there.
Yeah, I think I've done that for a couple of people where, of course, unfortunately, I told one person, do not update to the next one because you have to do all this sort of stuff and redesign. Nah, and then they ended up updating by accident. It might have been my fault, but there's this other website that I was like, you know what, I kind of like your comic and your site kind of sucks. But let me just kind of, you know, because I need more projects is the thing. I stopped doing that. I don't know how to code a page anymore.
I saw someone talking about my comic on a forum where they were, it was like something I had like got popular on Reddit, and one of the top rated comments was somebody saying like, oh, her website's terrible. I wish I could just go in there and like, you know, tell her I'm just going to like fix the whole thing. I'm like, then why don't you email me?
Yeah, I hate having to see things people say about my comic. Nobody wants to say it to my face.
I stopped Googling my own name pretty fast after I started drawing mine.
I haven't learned that lesson yet.
Nobody talks about me. I set up a Google alert for the podcasts and my name and only hits I get back are when I make a post.
Me too. I have alerts for Awkward Zombie, and the only updates I get are when my website updates.
Oh, well, you know, well, at least people at Something Awful aren't talking about me anymore. We got a few episodes out of that, I tell you.
Yeah.
including one that I told people just not to listen to because I'm just bitching the entire episode. Oh, that one was great. I loved that one. It was stupid. But you got to get that out of your system somewhere.
Oh, man. I remember, like, the first time, like, Kotaku was doing their Sunday comics poll or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, Awkward Zombie and my comic were, like, both up in the run. And I remember because I was getting, like, tons of pings from like, your forums from people who were, like, acting like it was some all-out war between us, and then
I remember that
they found you on my links page, and they were like, "Oh, she likes it." Oh, okay.
I remember that. I'm sorry for any.
Oh no. it is like not the worst I've heard. Don't worry.
Oh, frenemies.
I do really like your comic, by the way.
Oh, man, no, I just realized I don't have you on Twitter, but no, I love your. I was like, oh man, I'm so excited to get to talk to Katie.
Yeah, you don't have her on Twitter. Could it be because she doesn't have her Twitter listed on her website? Maybe.
Oh, I guess.
Maybe.
I'm also really bad at following because I do everything on like Tumblr, so I'm like,
Oh, I can't join Tumblr. I feel like I would stop doing anything.
Oh my god, that is what happens when you join some. I have a thing like installed on my computer. It's called like Cold Turkey. Or it's on my work one, it's Cold Turkey. And here, like on my Macintosh, it's Self Control. And it just blocks every website you tell. You know, you can be like, don't worry on Facebook, and Twitter, and Tumblr, and whatever for like 3 hours.
I don't think I could deal with that.
I need that for Civilization. Because I'm playing Civilization 5. And it probably should just log me out after like 2 hours and not let me in for like 5 hours. It's like, no, you can't take over the world today. You've already been on for 15 hours and I'm not fucking kidding you either.
And you're not any closer to ruling the world.
No, I've already beat the game on beginner like 6 times now. I'm just,
we should step it up.
I'm up to easy now.
Oh.
And I found out that Germany was a dick to me. Just kept invading.
That's Germany for you, isn't it?
And we're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, a little bit more.
A smidgen.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We're also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
But the last time I was on Skype, I was at my parents' house, and I live kind of in the woods, and whenever the conversation died down, my microphone would pick up actual crickets from outside.
Awesome. I just found a comic. I got to share this with the class. All right. So this is a comic that I've been basically backtracking Awkward Zombie while we've been doing the show here. And it just came across for our audience members, audience listeners. It's a TF2 comic because you've done your share of TF2 stuff as well.
I have.
And this particular one has heavy, low on health, about as eat his sandwich to get more health when he's been Gerardied. And for those who don't play the game, it's basically a jar of piss that hits you.
No.
And he gets all like annoyed, and then he is about to eat a sandwich. And then he looks at his sandwich, and there's covered in pee. No.
How rude.
What a dramatic telling.
Well, I don't know. I've had more time to prepare. I could probably do something more dramatic, but it's like, I fucking remember that one. It's hilarious.
Thank you.
And another comic that you've, a video game that you've done, Mass Effect, is it?
Yes, it is.
Where you, basically, a lot of times, you know, with you and Nerf now, what will happen is essentially poking fun at either the plot or a bit of the mechanics.
Yeah.
Or the logic, say, of a particular plot point of which some character has to do this or that. Or, and I remember one of them, I don't have it here, but it was one where you knew playing the game that at this particular point, you knew by picking a character, this character was going to go off and die, right?
Yes.
And you really didn't want anybody else but this one particular ass character that you just wanted to die, but they're not selectable. And so you have the character in the comic just like click, 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 click. Oh.
Yeah, Mass Effect 1 and 2, or I guess Mass Effect 1, trained me to believe one of my squad members had to die. So at every opportunity, I tried to make it that one.
I have to say, I love your Miranda comics. I think that's, yeah. Thank I haven't you. Played Mass Effect, but my boyfriend has, like, he dominates the TV with it. So I'm like, I don't know if it was that her name or was she Ashley. But yeah, the buck teeth. That's.
She's actually based off of a human lady.
Yeah.
But it's not a very good model. Like it's not accurate to the actual person at all.
All the teeth and mouth charts in like every BioWare game, like they have really weird teeth. It's yeah. I don't know, it seems like teeth are the one thing that like video game guys like never really got good with.
No.
I'm sorry, teeth and mouth charts?
Yeah, like, well, I don't know what you call it. I guess it's blend shapes for 3D things. I'm used to calling them mouth charts because I work traditionally, but it's like, basically, you take a mouth and you make all the mouth shapes that a person would use in conversation. Like, you know, you'd be like, okay, so here's the open A mouth, and here's, like, the O mouth, and here's the F mouth, or whatever. And with animation and stuff, you just, like, pop them up, like, the mouths on the face. And I guess same thing with, like stop motion and stuff like that. You know, they pop mouths on and off. But with video games and CG movies and stuff, it, like, blends between the shapes. So, like, you know, it looks like, you know, you'd say, like,
yeah,
use 50th frame or whatever for this one, and it would smooth it out between them. Always seem to have really weird mouth shapes chosen. Like, they never look like they're, I don't know, it's so distracting whenever people talk.
You'd almost rather Sonic see Adventure? Captain Scarlet.
I don't know who that is.
You know, well, the Thunderbirds.
Oh, okay.
Puppets, yeah, yeah. You know, where the mouths just move open and closed. You'd almost rather see that.
You know. Speaking of animation in general, it's. I heard that in, at least maybe an older Japanese anime, it was they didn't even match the mouth flapping to their dialogue.
They still don't in most cases.
Yeah, but yet we're getting a lot. You know, they get a lot more flack in when they bring it. You know, translated to English of when it doesn't match. And I actually heard they actually go in and edit it to make it match now. Anyway.
Man, I think the most accurate like anime I've ever seen for like just mouth movements and stuff was like Akira. It's totally a cut. Like I remember watching it, I was like, "There's something really different about this," and I'm not sure what it is. And then halfway through, I realized like, "Oh, they're like enunciating all their ooh sounds and stuff." And you almost never see that.
Tetsuo.
Yeah, I guess it was a really important sound for them to be able to make.
I gotta see that movie again. I really don't want to because it's fucking gross. Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, so let's move on. Let's sidestep to another webcomic project or such that you've worked on before. And it's called, it Well, okay. You're not working on it now, but you were there from the beginning. It was Iconia?
Yes, it was.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? What Iconia is?
It's actually a prequel to a game that is coming out at some point, which is like a RPG sort of thing.
Okay.
And the comic is a prequel, which I already said. And it's like it's darker than Awkward Zombie, not really funny or a comedy. So it was a little bit of a challenge for me because that's my entire body of work.
And so also
it's like a story driven, magic and swords and things.
Well, no, like fantasy setting. Walk us through a little bit about how you got essentially enlisted for this particular project.
It was actually incredibly simple. I was had commissions open at one point, and someone came up to me and said, "You want to draw a comic for us until this game comes out?" And I was like, "All right." and then I did. That was really it.
So this would be your first time. I mean, it's like essentially you don't do story stuff in Awkward Zombie. It's essentially more or less gag a day or really, really short.
Yeah, there have been like 2-part comics. For the most part, it's just a vignette.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you had some continuity carry over. But when you like eventually come back to a particular game, I mean, you got like sort of related continuity. But
yeah,
this is your first, not just a long form story, but also I'm gonna guess you're not writing.
I'm not.
So
it's kind of an interesting thing to take a script from someone and then be like, all right, let's see what I can do with this.
Now, this is, you know, it's a prequel to a game that's not out yet.
Right.
And people can check this out. We'll get a link in the show notes at iconiacomic.com. And I'm sure they'll have a notice for when the video game is up as well. Or is video game?
Yes.
Okay. Fantasy setting. So, it's unmistakably your style, but I do have to say, I think when I first saw it, it still had a little bit different feel. I don't know if it was more shading or something like that. It did have a little bit different feel to it, but it was still recognizable. Like, wait a minute, that's the same person that does Awkward Zombie, right? And I had a bit of look around for your name, basically. but it's like they're recognizable. But there's something different about it. So when you are working on this new project, did they tell you anything different about the type of art they wanted for it, or did you instill like your own? Sort of, okay, this is something different. I got to do something different with the art or such. Or was it subconscious?
Well, like for Awkward Zombie, it's a framework around jokes. And so the comic is a vehicle to tell jokes. And so that means that like, you don't necessarily need a background or so much detail. And then for something like Iconia, where there aren't wacky faces, that effort goes elsewhere, like into lighting or scenery and stuff like that. So it's just like it's the art is doing a different thing, so I had to try to figure out how to manage that. So it was pretty fun. It was a good experiment, and I did a lot of things that I don't think I would have done in the course of Awkward Zombie.
Let's see here. Now I think you've told me, and I think I also read on the website that it was technically supposed to be a short comic engagement.
Yeah. They have multiple projects. And so Iconia, the game, has sort of been put a little bit more on the back burner while they finish something else. So the comic got extended a couple times. And I think they have a definite end date now.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes.
Well, it looks like they're getting a new illustrator for the comic as well, too. Let's see here. Can I ask if this was this? You said that you were asking for you were doing commissions at this time, so this was a paid gig?
Yes.
Okay. So you're a professional now. You've had paid work. All right.
I guess so.
A lot of people are like, oh, I'm not a professional artist or anything because I haven't been actually paid. It's like, whatever. If you're doing what you love and you got to do something to keep doing, if you have ads on your site, yeah, you're getting paid.
Yeah, that
you're getting paid. So I'm probably going to want to put together another show in the future that more particularly looks at the dynamics in general between working with a writer and an artist team. But could you tell us a bit about the course of creating a particular comic of when you get the script? Is it basically you got to do this, or do you have to come back and say, you really can't do this in comic form the way that you've written it, or not as one page? Or did you have any, was there any sort of back and forth?
What I liked is that they gave me very free range with it. They were basically like, if you can think of a better way to do this, or a better layout, or you want to split this into two pages, feel free. So I had a lot of liberty with that, which was nice. What was the rest of the question?
No. You are basically answering the question. You had a little bit more liberty and such. So like, if you felt like some of the script didn't quite work in like a page as they were asking, or even a panel, that you were able to stretch it out or make it work, and if as long as the essential gist of what they were written was still there.
Yeah, I mean, it was like it started out as being like panel one, this happens, panel two, this happens, and then as it went on, the scripts turned more into like, you know, this is the dialogue, these are the actions, line it up however you see fit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was nice.
Very cool. Yeah, there was, I think like a long time ago, maybe a year or two ago, we had, Adam on the show, and he was talking about, yeah, it was like how not to make a web comic or something like that. And he was saying, it's like, if you got a writer artist team and then the writer comes up with like, okay, so this one panel, there's like four different factions here fighting on a battlefield. They all have distinctively different uniforms with this and that. And then there's this explosion happening. Now in panel two, and it's like, I've had to deal with that a little bit. It's like, this has to be more than one panel or page, you know. So that's really good that you're able to work with that. It's, but you know, it, I mean, it was a paid gig, I'm going to guess, per page.
Yes.
And so it almost sounds like that when you pay like a kid to rake your lawn and you pay them per per hour, and then they purposely take a little bit longer to rake your lawn. But I'm sure you didn't do that. I'm sure you didn't.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm asking a lot of questions. I don't know if Mark and Kelly want to get in on this.
I didn't even ask. There were a couple times I was like, I'm going to interject, but I'm just full of anecdotes. I can talk in a circle forever.
No, please.
It's like the conversation's moved past it.
No, I'm sorry. Okay, you gotta speak up and like at least get started, so then I know. Oh, Kelly wants to speak.
Well, I'm curious. You do a lot of video game comics and things like that. Do you ever get like backlash or something from male gamers or that attitude that's out there? Do you ever run into that?
You mean like, hey, stop that, you.
No, are you talking
about... I'm not sure what you mean.
Are you talking about the anti...
They're assholes in the internet? Yes. but like I said, nobody's really mean to me to my face. I have to seek it out.
You have to look for meanness.
Yeah.
I think he was asking whether or not there seemed to be bias against you because you're a girl or whatever, and you're trying to do video game stuff. I don't know. There's been like this recent kick up of the fake geek girl crap. Which is just absolute bullshit. So I'm thinking that might have been what you were asking about, if you've been getting flack.
There are some people who are like, oh, she likes Pokemon and Zelda. What a casual. But
yeah, you're gonna do a comic about Tetris next.
Come on and leave me alone.
Yeah,
I think I've seen people say that. You know, they're like, oh, of course she draws Nintendo comics. She's a girl, and it's like, well. She also does Warcraft comics and Mass Effect comics, so like, what do you want?
And she does TF2 comics, but
I don't really care.
And everybody does freaking TF2. You know, furries love TF2. Everybody loves TF2. It's like, of course, you know, just whatever, fuck off. You know, haters are gonna hate. Screw them.
I suppose they are.
Anyway.
Like the next, you know, 17 comics about playing checkers. It's like, oh, software casuals.
That comic about solitaire.
Oh, man, could you imagine a comic about solitaire?
There was Yu-Gi-Oh! Comic, like, from, you know, that batch of Japanese ones before they were all, like, you know, basically playing Pokemon battles with their trading cards, back when it was, like, every issue was sort of, like, what person is the main character going to kill with a card, or, like, you know, a game of chance or whatever today, and there was one where there was, like, some serial killer who was using that, like, around-the-clock solitaire to, like, murder people or something, and
what?
He has to, like, around the clock solitaire him to death or something. It was
The original Yu-Gi-Oh comic was basically, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh means king of games, and it was games, it was various games.
And then
it was Duel Monsters came up, and then money started coming in, and then it became card game.
A super easy thing to invest in because, like, you know, they're made of paper.
It's paper?
If something's like toys, like Beyblades and stuff, it's like, well, you got to get like the metal parts and the plastic parts. You got to cast all these things. And, you know, if they don't sell, then you're like so far in the hole. But if it's like, it's cards, just keep running the printer.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I thought Yu-Gi-Oh! Was always Duel Monsters.
No. It's basically, you know, Duel Monsters became synonymous with Yu-Gi-Oh! And it's like, there's like this, I don't know, season zero as well, or whatever the hell it was. That was sort of like, I don't know, pilot season.
And yeah, it was all things like, oh, you lost at Plinko, haha. Now you have to put your hand in this box of scorpions.
What? I find this comic.
It was in like Shonen Jump when they started putting that out in like newsstands and stuff. Like when, you know, I grew up in a town of like 1,000 people in the middle of nowhere in like Arctic Canada. And so the only comics that I could get were like Shonen Jump and Heavy Metal. So that was just what I lived off of like in high school until I moved out.
No, yeah. I think the first issue or whatever book of Yu-Gi-Oh! Because Little Karibo did a sort of like a top the fourth wall style review of it. And, it was Yugi and this other bully, basically. It came down to this sort of, they had the stack of money, and the game was, okay, we're going to pass this stack of money between us, and each time you put it on the back of your hand, and then you stab it with a knife, and then how many bills you stab through, you get to keep that. So it was like, how far do you stab through to get as much money as possible before you actually stab your hand? And then I think it ended up with motherfucking Yugi stabbing a bitch and kicking him off a cliff. like fucking dark shit, you know?
I want that.
Anyway, we're going to take another break.
Conversations, destroyer of social situations. You came here for a chat, but I stopped you in your tracks, cause I'm the king of awkward conversations. I reign supreme with silences that stretch on for days, pregnant pauses heralded as uneasy and strained. You're feeling weird and tense while I'm only having fun. Bow down to the king of awkward conversations.
Bow down.
I'll bring your shindig to a standstill. I'll turn your party to a landfill. I am the place friendly banter goes to die. I am the king of awkward conversations, crown prince of dead end declarations. The small talk flowed like wine till I slowed it to a grind and left the room in a state of satisfaction. Cause I'm the king of awkward conversations, royal highness of ill communication. You had the gift of gab till I put it on the run. Bow down to the king of awkward conversations.
Bow down.
I'll bring your shindig to a standstill.
Bow down.
I'll turn your party to a landfill. Where friendly banter goes to die. Dolls subjects are subjective to my doll subjects. The effect is like a verbal hex. They stand in silence and they crane their necks for someone more. Just flow so easily. Nouns and verbs and scintillating adjectives. You've dethroned the king. You've dethroned the king. You've dethroned.
That was The King of Awkward Conversations by Pro Audio, found at musicalley.com by Mevio. All right, and we're back. Is there anything left to talk about? I don't know. Do we need to talk about any more about children's card games?
There's always room for children's card games.
No. You're thinking of Jell-O.
Oh, my bad. I get them confused.
All right. So, I'll hear that allegedly you have other projects in the works, but you can't particularly talk about them.
Yes, what an interesting topic.
No. So you've got, are they other comics projects?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to have another comic alongside Awkward Zombie, mm-hmm. Because I can't not be working at any given second. Or else, I guess.
I know how you feel.
So I have a couple things that I'm working on, but they're in pretty early stage of development and won't happen for a while, probably.
Okay. And are these, would these be entirely your stuff, or are they any more collaborative stuff?
They're just my stuff right now.
Oh, okay.
Probably forever.
And so... So we'll probably keep an eye on awkwardzombie.com for future developments, or particularly a Twitter that's not posted on awkwardzombie.com.
It's very hard to find. It's at Katie Tiedrich. You would never guess to look for that, but that's where it is.
That's extra work, though, and that's assuming, I wonder if this person has a Twitter account.
I'll talk to my programmer about putting a link there.
All right. So we got that taken care of. We got a little bit of information out of you about it, but not too much. But, you know, that's
enough
fun.
To be curious.
Let's see here. What do we got? Any webcomics that you would like to suggest for people to check out?
Oh, there are so many. I could go on forever.
Five.
All right. Okay, let's see. Okay. Cucumber Quest by GGDG is real good. Gun Show by Casey Green is real good. Dinosaur Comics by Ryan North is real good. Okay. I gotta make it count. Everything else is real good, unless it's not.
Is that name of a comic, or are you just lumping?
I'm going to say another 20 comics are filling the last two spots because I can't think of stuff on the fly.
Quick. Okay. How about
doesn't update anymore.
Okay. How about another video gaming or gamer comic that you would recommend if there's any others that you know of?
Actually, I don't read that many gaming comics. I mean, I read mainly guys. I'm not up to date on it.
I understand.
I have a lot of comics that I really like, and then I just wait months and then read a bunch at once and then stop reading it for months and then come back months later and read all of it. I don't know why.
That's how I follow the ongoing story ones that I read. I feel like, you know, I'm almost doing a disservice to them to read them one at a time. Like I love Meek, but you know, I feel like when I read it like one page at a time, like I'm just like totally taking like all the wind out of the story. And the same with like TJ and Amal. I sat down and like read the entire like backlog to date in one weekend. You know, I was just like, oh, I'm kind of bored. I'm going to reread TJ and Amal. And it was like, wow, this is a totally different story when you read it in one go.
Yeah. And then you get to the last, I used to do that a lot more when I didn't have, you know, when I had time. But then you get like to like the latest update is like, aw. And then it's like, it's so slow.
Yeah.
I did that with Misfile once. I was like, you know, I keep hearing about Misfile. I've never actually read Misfile. I'm going to start reading Misfile. And I was like, I'm getting real into it, but you know, I was not paying attention to the time. And I was seriously 12 hours later when I look up, it's been like half a day. You're just getting,
don't you hate that?
Well, it's clearly a good comic when you get into it and that, but then it's like, I was supposed to do stuff. All right, so I think we're at the end of our episode here. We just got a few little bits of news, but before we let Katie go here, is there anything else that you would like to discuss?
Oh man, I don't know. I think that might be all of the things that I do.
Well, I mean, if there's something else you wanted, like what is best in life?
I like action figures and dinosaurs. And collecting mugs with dinosaurs on them.
Really?
Any of those ones that when you pour hot water in, they
show the skeleton?
Yeah, I have that one on my desk right now.
Sure.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm gonna guess that maybe one of your future projects is about dinosaurs.
A little bit.
I got more information. All right.
Now she has to kill you.
All right.
Man, you need to go to like Kineticon or something, because like I keep like hoping I'm gonna run into a convention, but then I see like all the stuff you go to is on like the East Coast, and I'm like, oh, what am I gonna see out of that? It's like Kineticon's probably like the big webcomic one I get to out there. But
actually I was at Kineticon last year.
Oh,
so,
okay. I'm in San Diego that weekend.
They were on the same weekend. I don't think they usually are though.
Yeah, I'm going to it this year.
Well, if I get invited back, then I'll be there.
I hope to see you there. No, because I keep up like, oh, maybe, because like last year I got invited to a bunch on like the East Coast, like little college ones. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll run into her.
My policy is if someone invites me somewhere and they can cover the travel, I'll go.
That's about the same for me.
Someone invited me to a convention in Alaska.
Nice.
And I was like, all right. So I guess I'm going to Alaska later this year.
I got to go to Australia that way last year. Like, I was
really?
Like, all right.
That's
like,
nice.
Like, oh, thank you for coming to our convention. I was like, thank you for flying me to Australia.
Yeah.
I will also totally do that, though I don't know if I'm worth that, but I will make it worth it. If any chance you can get and the cover your expenses to get out there at least. Jump on that, especially if it's to another freaking country. Jesus
Christ. Absolutely.
Oh. Even Antarctica, you know? Fuck it.
If there's a convention in Antarctica, I'll go there.
I mean, you'll probably have to stay and do research. Because it's basically,
okay. I like research.
Yeah. That was always my dad's dream, was to go to Antarctica to like research stuff. I remember when I was a teenager, there was some contest. It was like an essay contest that you basically have to write an essay about like why you would love to go do a semester in like Antarctica. And he was like, "Oh, you should do this." And I was like, "Dad, this is the only time you've ever tried to live vicariously through me."
This is yeah. Basically, you can't just quit. I mean, once you're down there, you're down there for 6 months. There's no planes leaving regularly. It's like every 6 months there's a plane. A plane. And they only have like...
It might not even land. There's a real chance.
Yeah, they have 3 days, basically, to get a plane in there and out.
It's probably the best place to weather the zombie apocalypse, though.
And
just as long as you had supplies down there.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable. What are you talking about?
It's not sustainable. Well, if there was a zombie apocalypse, you'd just have to... Honestly, you'd have to... They die eventually completely because of just how real life works. As long as they don't, I mean, eventually there'll be a supply, you know, won't be enough food for them, and then they'll just die because.
Yeah, I think zombies just rot away. Like, that's when they get too rotten
to
keep any
kind
of motion. Yeah.
So, they trip on a twig, and then, like, you know, that's health that's not coming back.
Well,
and eventually they're just going to break down.
Yeah.
Whenever they do, you know, a zombie thing where it's like they did it in Walking Dead a lot and stuff, where it's like the zombies all freeze for the winter and then they like come back to life, sort of. And
oh,
it's
they
like
hibernate.
Yeah. Because like, you know, when they unfreeze, they start walking again, and they're like just in the same condition they were when, you know, before winter started. And it's like, I don't think you've seen a piece of freezer burnt meat like this.
And of course, because
zombies.
Yeah, of course we start talking about zombies since Katie does a comic called Awkward Zombie. Now, wait a minute. I think I forgot a question. Why the hell Awkward Zombie? Why that name?
This is going to be the most disappointing answer you've ever heard.
Uh-oh.
Because I thought of a cool logo with an A and a Z. So I was like, all right, let's do that. I was hosting my comic on DeviantArt for a while, and people were like, you should get a website. And I was like, all right. So I made a crappy HTML website, and I had all my comics, and I had the layout ready to go. I was like, I don't have a name for this comic. It's just video game stuff I've been posting to DeviantArt. And I was like, good friend Norrin, what should I call my comic? And he was like, Awkward Zombie. So that's what it is.
You know, yeah, we've had a few people on the show where basically they started doing stuff on, you know what, fucking even Nerf Now did that. They started on DeviantArt, and then a lot of people, hey, you should make a webcomic, and then they make a webcomic.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's totally a thing.
I was just going to keep my comic on DeviantArt until somebody was like, if you're not going to make a website, I'm making one for you.
That must be nice.
Fans.
Guess I should post there more, huh?
Maybe.
Or less. Maybe I should delete some posts. That might help.
Aw. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gee.
All right. So, Katie?
Hello. Goodbye. I mean, yes?
Katie, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
And once again, you can find Katie at awkwardzombie.com, and apparently you can find her at Katie Tiedrich on Twitter.
It's true.
Good luck finding it. It's spelling it. we'll check the show notes. All right, Katie, thank you very much once again, and best of luck on your future comic endeavors, of which we know very little about.
Thank you. I'll be mysterious about it.
You'll have to let us know when you're ready, though.
Okay.
All right.
I'm excited.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well,
goodbye.
I don't know.
I don't know if that was at me or at the audience.
No, that was sorry. That's it. We've got some news, and it'll be boring, so you don't need to be around for it.
Oh, okay.
But thank you once again, and have a great day.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Do I leave now?
Sure.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Oh, that was awkward.
Zombie.
Yes, because I made it awkward. Should I keep that in there or should I edit that out? You know what? Fuck it. We're going to move on. We got, there's just a little bit of news and then we'll be going awkwardly. We have, for those who don't know or haven't been paying attention because you let their, let this episode sit in your podcatcher for too long. We have, we're doing the webcomic Blind Date once again. For those who don't remember that, last year we had Xavier Xerxes on the show, which we talked about some of his past projects, and one of them was The Blind Date, where basically an artist and writer went on a blind date for Valentine's Day to create a Valentine's Day comic. And so we did that, we brought it back last year, we're doing it again this year. Enter by January 19th, that would be, though, you know what? I don't think this episode is coming out this week, is it? Crap. This might be way too late. I gotta check my schedule now. This episode will be coming out. Fuck. Hang on, let me... Yeah, this show isn't coming out this week. That's dumb. Yeah, it's gonna be way too late when this episode comes out. Shit.
Oh, well.
Hey, is there anything that you guys want to talk about?
I was going to mention that Glam Rockerilla was like hiring a new artist, but I guess he's already called the kind of casting call on that, so he's just choosing what he's got, so that's not really worth talking about anymore, but I did anyway, I guess, so I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Let's see here. So it is January, February right now, which means con season is going to be starting up in a few months. Are there any particular cons that you guys are going to be looking to go to this 2013?
Pretty sure I'm at Kineticon this year, as mentioned earlier. And I think I'm doing Conbust, one of the ones out on the East Coast. It's the one in Massachusetts at the, like, it's a college one.
Okay.
I'm probably going to do Intervention Con again this year.
How was that? I was supposed to go, but then I scheduled Oktoberfest or something like that, and I just couldn't go.
Well, it's small. You're not really going there at a table. But there was a lot of good stuff. I think it's a good little con. I think it's just going to get better over time, too.
So it's more very, of a socializing con?
I think so. Very, very interesting. A lot of interesting topics. They had a guy there with a DeLorean this past year, which is pretty cool because he talked about owning a DeLorean, what it's like. And
what it's like.
There's all these problems with the car. But
It's a shitty car.
Well, there's just problems with owning one that you wouldn't think of because everyone thinks it's the geeky, cool sci-fi car, you know, but there was a lot of stuff like that. I had a good time there. I thought it was pretty cool and it's kind of smallish. So it's on the grow though. There's a lot of good ideas.
Does it have a lot of workshops? I think that's one of the things it has.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got a lot of panels and workshop-y stuff, a lot of cool things.
All right, I think I'm gonna try to go to that one this year. That might be the one I'm gonna try to make the new webcomic beacon webcast beacon.
I could see that one being the one because it's it's a little smaller than PenguinCon, but it's new still, so it's kind of growing.
Well,
and stuff, so.
The last PenguinCon we went to, it was basically new. I mean, it wasn't all their fault for what kind of happened behind the scenes, but I think there was enough that happened that I don't really want to go again.
Oh.
Well, it was...
That's in April this year, I think.
They dropped the ball a lot of times for panels and...
Yeah, I don't know what's going on this year. Yeah. I may not go to that one.
And then there was basically...
I have to watch my shekels.
Their comic track basically fell apart. The last year we went, it was, there were so many things that I don't feel were handled very well and I don't need to go to it, you know, and I don't know. so let's see here. There's a few things because, I don't know how this show is going to sound because I'm splicing in news that was apparently going to be well out of date by the time this particular episode aired. But I'm not sure if this is still going to be the case by the time this airs, but at least I was starting to look for, I might still be looking for, people to do the Webcomic Beacon newscast. Essentially, the heavy hitters behind the newscast were Jason and Eric, and they've kind of gotten burned out on news gathering and such. They want to focus on another aspect of it, some video stuff. And essentially, I need a whole new crew for the newscast if we're going to keep that going. But we're going to try to redo it and restructure it so that it's not as work heavy. Probably bring it back to maybe more discussion than just sort of like listing a bunch of stuff, trying to fill time with tertiarily related stuff and just really stuff that's of interest and of use, and have a discussion on maybe just a few key things that happened in the month that are probably only going to be like a every other week sort of thing. I might have to end up being on it, but we're also going to be moving the Webcomic Beacon to every other week as well, so I can work on some other projects that demand a little bit more of my time.
It's totally understandable.
Right. And I think that'll be just a little bit better. But we've got some things some people we want to get on yet. It's a lot of work. I was on, by the time this airs, let's see, what is today? Today is, we're recording this the 13th of January. Well, yesterday I went to a launch party of a new production company, a new local production company called, Fearless. Yeah, Fearless. And basically it's a bunch of comedians, local comedians and stand-up artists and creative types have got together and they've made their own production company, because apparently that's a thing now that people are starting to do in Minneapolis. People are putting together production companies and incorporating or whatever, legal stuff, because there's money and whatever. So, and I went to their launch party, and I ended up being on Joseph Scrimshaw's live recorded podcast called Obsessed, and I was randomly selected of one of two randomly selected audience members to talk about their obsessions, and mine was projects. So I got to talk about that, have a little fun, and
just had like an awakening. You're like, oh shit, I have too many projects.
But it was really fun. I really worried that I was just going to both not sound obsessed enough, because I was kind of holding back, because I know when I really start talking about all the things I do, it could become really boring. So I had it because I know that he's a comedian, and I've worked with him once before by randomly being called up on stage while he was doing like some other act. And so, and I know a little bit about the audience, these performers. And so I know a little bit about improv enough that I got to really work with what's on stage, not be about me, not over dominate. I think I did good. I'll link it once it gets here. But it was really, really fun. And there was a silent auction in which I forget. It's like so-and-so and the Dirty Curls. I forget who the name was. Wait a minute. I have the winning receipt here. A silent auction. Here we go. Courtney McLean and the Dirty Curls. I won a private performance.
Okay.
Concert performance. Yeah, they do kind of dirty lyric song stuff. It's really, really fun. I won a concert performance at my home or other reasonable location of your choosing. So I've got to figure out where I'm going to have that happen. But that was pretty sweet. It was just exciting. And I got a little drunk.
You've earned it.
Yes. So any sort of crazy stuff that's going on with you guys? Coming up?
Oh man, I'm just insane, like, busy right now.
That's right.
The whole duration of this podcast I've been working on, like, there's, like, this thing I'm doing for work that we basically have, like, 1 week to do the first pass on it, because it's, like, very time-sensitive kind of stuff.
Was this the secret project you can't really talk about?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't talk about any of the stuff I work on, really. but this particular one, I'm like it should be live soon, I guess. So, like, you know, I can show it to people then. But it's one of those things I'm like, I am honored to work on this.
Well, definitely be sure to let us know when you can talk about it on the show. Yeah. And we'll post links and such. Can I ask if any one of the projects you're working on is storyboarding?
I'm not storyboarding right now, but I'd have done storyboarding in the past. I used to storyboard on like Ugly Americans, and then just last year I spent like kind of like half the year. I don't know if you've seen the Smosh series with zombies.
The what?
Smosh. Like, do you know Smosh?
I don't know Smosh.
They're just like kind of an internet comedy group. It's funny because like they got big when one of the guys, I guess like two of the guys in their group, just really enthusiastically like lip synced along with the Pokemon theme in like the one guy's house. and then I didn't hear about them for like years. And then they did some like Zelda rap music video thing was like making the rounds like last year. And it was like, wow, they have a budget now and like millions of fans. And, like they came a long way from like, singing in that guy's house. But, yeah, last year, They have this one, they just started a cartoon channel, and one of them is this kind of zombie series called With Zombies, and I got hired to, like, storyboard that. I think there's one episode another guy at the studio did, but...
Okay. Well, if you can find a link and get it to me, I'll stick it in the show notes.
I don't think I'm credited on it. It's not...
Well, you mentioned it. I mean, I can still link to it if you... I mean, unless you don't like them. I mean, I suppose...
No, that's not I don't like them, but it's...
it's still something you mentioned, and some people... Smosh. Okay.
Hmm. Huh.
Mark, do you have anything?
Well, I'm working on a new project, but it's not ready to talk about yet. It'd probably be crap.
Well, this episode's full of that, you know... I got stuff I can't talk about. No.
Yeah, I got a new project. We'll see.
You know, ironically, you know what? I don't have a new project.
Really?
I got plenty on like that I want to do, but there's nothing that I'm presently working on that I'm not already working on. However, hopefully by the time this episode comes up, the new website will be here. If not, I'm going to ask Mike again where... at, but hopefully it'll be up by now, and then I'll have a new project, which is gonna be making sure that whole thing works.
Oh, man. Yeah, I definitely, like, I have, you know, like the comic that I keep saying I'm gonna make like forever, just, you know, my own personal thing that, you know, I've been rewriting the script forever, and I'm finally like at a version of like the first couple chapters. I'm like, yeah, I could start drawing this, but I have a comic that I owe my boyfriend that I started drawing for him before we were dating. And it's one of those things where, like, you know, they paid me to draw like 2 years ago, and it was before I was like employed and stuff. And so, it's part of it was it like the story going through a million rewrites. And so it was like, am I allowed to draw it yet? Am I allowed to draw it? But mostly now it's just, you know, I am bad at finding places to like schedule my time into it. And since, you know, I live with the guy who wrote it, you know, he's like, oh, I understand. And so I'm like, I'm holding my project like hostage. I'm like, I won't start that until I've done this, because that's not fair.
Maybe he's only still going out with you until he gets.
No,
I know, we've been living together for like 2 years now. So.
Or you're holding it over him so he doesn't leave. I don't know.
But I like to think there's more to our relationship than that. But yeah, so. I don't know. I took it out and I cracked it at last. And it's just like, I was like, God, man, drawing real comics are hard. Full of perspective. There's all the wood grain and bricks and cross hatching and shadows. It's like, oh, fuck.
When you're doing your own little hobby comic of like, you know, whatever, I like doing this sort of thing. It doesn't matter that much. It's like, oh my God, somebody else is paying me to do this. I'm going to be so good at this. I there is an episode I would like to do in the future. About basically, I think we've talked about it. We've had shows on it in the past, and I think it warrants revisiting. I'd like to get John Peters. I'd like to get him on because I know that, you know, he does the art for Ardra, and I do the scripting and writing, and there is a, you know, I have one idea for it. I mean, I don't draw thumbnails for them unless I have a really particular idea, but it's kind of like the thing with what Katie was mentioning of having a little bit more freedom on, mm-hmm. on a project, and totally it's, I got to write down, but I'd like to have him on and have a little discussion about how we work together. And I would like to find other people that have the artist, writer relationship and see how, that works. Cause I think that perspective, I think perspective would be interesting for some people that are thinking about, working with somebody or are working with somebody. And I wonder how it works with other people. Cause I know that there's different ways to go about it. So if there's any teams that you think that we should try to get on for a show like that, I just let me know. But that is definitely now the end of this particular episode. I've been Fess of ArchieComic.com.
Been Kelly of the punchliners machismo.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.